And welcome to podcast number two in a series of indeterminate length for the Axis of Ego. And I think the first thing we want to talk about is, first I should say, Mike Austin, you are actually here physically in studio this week, which is a great treat for everyone.
Yeah, and we have two microphones. That's convenient.
Right, so we don't have to share a mic, which would be unfortunate. But what I wanted to say was about the site. Thanks to everybody who helped make this week such a banner week for us. Obviously, if you're listening to this now, you probably know enough about the site to know basically what happened. But just the short version is something that I wrote that published on Tuesday was picked up by WordPress.com for its freshly pressed feature on the main WordPress.com site. The site traffic exploded. I mean, we had only had about 360 or 370 visitors prior to that. And then I think the first day it was over 5,000 for that one day. So we're very happy that not only a lot of people have checked out the site, but we've gotten a lot of subscriptions to the site. So people know when we publish something and people are following us on our Twitter account, which is great. And if you want to check that out, it's Twitter/TheAxisOfEgo. And just can't thank you guys enough. And hopefully we'll continue to build our readership as we get better, I hope, as we improve, as we go forward and produce more content. But just a really neat experience, and hopefully it's a start of something good for the site.
And who would have thought that a Miley Cyrus article would have prompted the firestorm that it did?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I think that for me, that article was something that was fairly easy to write because I should say it didn't take much time. A lot of the stuff I write, I obsess over and I go back and forth on stuff, but that was basically about an hour. And it's just funny how certain things will strike a chord with people. And I think that's great. It's wonderful. And that's one of the things that we're working through as we start this site is figuring out what people like, what we like to do, and sort of striking a balance there. And certainly, and you and I have already discussed, and we won't give anything away on this on the air, but we are definitely going to have more, I guess, song deconstructions would be perhaps.
Well, song deconstructions has actually been a big part of our conversations over the last few years.
Yeah, that's
true. And
it's
funny how naturally it comes to us because we're fairly weird by nature anyway, but we've always had this little riff where we take a song that's popular on the radio and we really literalize it and think about it in ways that the artist probably didn't intend for people to think about it. So I think that modern pop music has given us a lot of these types of weird, idiosyncratic songs that really deserve the deconstruction that Miley got. And I'm just reading the article again. I'm glad you footnoted who Miley Cyrus was so that our audience would know that Miss Cyrus is the daughter of legendary country and Western musician Billy Ray Cyrus. And what's funny about that isn't necessarily that you had to reference her as the daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus. It's funny that you referred to him as a country and Western musician.
Yeah.
We don't call him country and Western musicians these days.
And that's the joke.
Hence the joke. All right. We should start deconstructing your joke.
Right. And also, legendary?
Well, Achy Breaky was a smash hit.
Did you also notice that did you ever look at the tags for that article? One of the tags is, you know, the tags are music and commentary and humor. And then one of the tags was Achy Breaky. I don't know if you noticed that.
Like someone's going to be Googling Achy right, Breaky exactly.
Somebody's gonna be,
humor somebody, and
well, they don't have to Google them all, but like somebody's going to be on the WordPress.com website looking under the, what categories do I enjoy? Cooking, recipes, let's see, sports. Oh, and also anything in the Achy Breaky department. I'd like to review anything in that category.
Well, it was a very funny article. It was really well done.
Oh, well, thank you. And your first article debuted this week, so I'm excited.
Speaking of funny and well done.
Speaking of legendary.
Yeah, your Miley Cyrus article took you all of about an hour to complete, whereas, you know, I was crafting my article for roughly 4 or 5 days. I have this weird habit of writing really important legal documents very quickly, but when it comes to something as unimportant as something to be posted on theaxisofego.com, I take many, many days to write and rewrite it. And it's frustrating. You do a lot of good work, and you do it relatively quickly. I don't have that gift for some reason.
Well, all kidding aside, I mean, I don't think that I'm I don't think of myself as particularly gifted. I think what it is just I've had enough experience as a writer to sort of feel a deadline, so to speak. And so in my head, when I say, look, I want to publish something tomorrow and I want to have this thing done before I go to bed, it can get done. Whereas 10 years ago, when I was fairly new at it, you know, it was an issue. I mean, when I used to have to, I mean, not to get too much into this aspect of what I do, but when I used to have to write, for example, football previews, I mean, that process would take me probably twice as long as it does now. Your article, the fact that it took you longer to write is not a big deal.
Well, thinking about the article that you just posted last night, you were going to give another slapdash preview of a football game that's going to be coming on later today.
Yep.
The plan was to spend about 15, 20 minutes on it?
Oh, more than that, because 15, 20 minutes, you can't really... I mean, that's like just... I mean, that's just like mentally outlining stuff.
But you ended up writing an epistle.
I did. It was longer than I anticipated. And that didn't take me an hour. That took me more like 3 hours to write.
Jeepers. Well, anyway, we've got the Super Bowl today, so we should probably get some obligatory Super Bowl stuff out of the way.
Yeah, I think we both agree that any sort of analysis is... redundant would be an understatement, because people, or as we speak right now, the talking heads on TV have been talking about this game for a week.
Well, what can be said about this game that Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders haven't already said extremely articulately?
I don't have enough buttons on my suit to follow that act. I think that the only thing we should discuss two things related to the Super Bowl. Number one, the food that we normally have.
That's important.
That is very important. For our Super Bowl party, which this year consists only of you and I, which is
this year
of you and me, which is, I think, an accurate commentary on our lives, but whatever.
Well, some years we will have a mushrooming effect where we'll have three or maybe even four people show up, and they'll only show up for a quarter or two as they're like passing from one cool Super Bowl party to another cool Super
Bowl
party.
I've had years where I've had. Like years before, but I think before you even started showing up, where I've had 6 to 8 people. We are both gluttons. And I think that we enjoy using these sort of events as excuses to indulge our gluttony. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm only a glutton 50% of the time. The other 50% of the time, I'm watching what I eat.
Right.
I'm really careful.
Hate you. I hate you when you're like that. Not because I don't applaud your efforts, but because anytime we get together, it's usually for a meal or some sort of party or a social event that has food, and you get very weird. And
I think there was one Super Bowl where you were eating Papa John's pizza, and I think we're trying to get Papa John's to sponsor the podcast, so that's why I'm going to mention them specifically. But I was eating pea pods.
The green pods. You were eating some kind of leaves or pea pods, yeah.
Maybe an edamame.
I don't know. Something.
Something in that family.
The worst ever was when that was bad, but then there was a time that you were like really gung-ho about going to see The Dark Knight because it just come out and I wanted to see it too, and I was like, yeah, great. And you were like, let's go see Dark Knight, and then, you know, it's in the mall area, so there's going to be a bunch of restaurants. We'll go grab dinner afterward. Great. So we go. Number one, of course, you don't get popcorn. You don't get anything for the... And that's fine. That's okay. And then we went to the, I don't know whether it was Applebee's or whatever it was in the shopping center. And literally you ate pea pods and like carrot sticks for dinner. And I had, of course, like a cheeseburger or something like that. And I just got mad. I don't know why. There's no reason for me to be mad. I mean, I have no standing to be upset with you, but it just bothered me.
But then there are those times when I don't eat anything, and then there are times like today where we're going to order. How many pizzas do you think we're going to get?
Well, I've already ordered, so I know I know the exact number of pizzas that are coming. There's no estimation required. Three.
Hmm.
And I did that because I wasn't sure until just a little while ago how many people were going to show up. So you never want to have not enough food. You always want to have more than enough. So three pizzas coming. Cheese, pepperoni, green peppers.
Good. Okay. Well, we covered the three basics.
Yeah.
And then we've got plenty of queso.
Queso dip is our lifeblood.
As I've said before on many occasions, I would inject myself with an IV filled with queso dip.
Except that one time when you accidentally said catheter.
Queso catheter.
Sounded terrible. That's one unpleasant. Of the worst. That's really unpleasant.
it's spicy.
So that's the menu. And I would say the rough number of calories we're going to ingest today, 4,000?
Maybe.
3,000?
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Let's move on to the second point, which is not about the game itself exactly, but the fact that just semi-coincidentally, both of us stand to make a good chunk of change on this game today if certain things happen.
Yeah, I'm not a gambling man per se, but for the first time in my life, I actually have a significant amount of money that's on the line. And it's interesting because I didn't pick this game specifically. Rather, at the very outset of the season, we had a Super Bowl pool. I invested a very modest sum.
And who's we?
This is an office pool.
Yeah.
Probably 20 contributors. I invested $50, so you can sort of do the math there. Not insignificant, even for a man of my means. so at the very, very beginning of the year, I had picked Green Bay and the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl, and I had picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl. And my closest opponent picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, but not necessarily to win. So the worst I can do today is take half the pot. The best I can do today is take 100% of it. So, not a bad day. I don't know if I'm going to be successful. I think, personally, would probably pick the Steelers to win.
So in other words, just so I understand the parameters here, you're either going to win $250 or $500. Is that correct?
Roger that.
Oh, okay. So really, there's less at stake than I had thought. The way you said it the other day, I misunderstood and thought that it was either 500 or nothing.
No. I'm going to win something.
Interesting. I am not in that same boat. However, my investment was much smaller. I am also in an office. It's one of those grid things where you have random numbers assigned to you. But it's one of those deals where you pick two squares or a square, and then later they draw the numbers. So you really don't have any idea. It's not like, oh, yes, because nobody, if they had their pick, would take 9 and 2. 7 is a great number to get by itself, but if you have a 4 and a 7, I mean, if it's 14-7 is a very likely score. The point of this is you want to get numbers that are likely to occur naturally in football. But 7s and 4s are great, and I've got 4 and 7 together. So at the end of each quarter, there's $125 in play. So it's up to $500, but that's unlikely. But so I'm just hoping to hit like one of the, 17-14, 14-7, whatever, 24-17, 24-7, and I get $125.
And that was totally random? You just got those numbers by drawing out of a hat or something?
Yeah. I didn't even draw it. It's the secretaries or whatever draw it. So that's exciting to me that I got 4 and 7. Okay, so would you like to talk a little bit about the Puppy Bowl?
No, I don't know who's competing in the Puppy Bowl this year. Although I did check out the rosters for the Puppy Bowl. There are a lot of really interesting dogs, but I don't have any vested interest in any one of them. And I'm not even sure that you can win the Puppy Bowl. I don't believe that you can actually declare a winner. I think we're the winners as the viewers of the Puppy Bowl.
Everyone wins, and I think that the Puppy Bowl, the first time I saw it, I really thought, oh, this is really, I like this. I love dogs, except for the ones that bite me in the face. And I was recently mauled by a dog, as we were discussing before we went on the air. But I think that after watching it for a while, it made me a little uncomfortable because I just felt like there was something a little bit dirty or like I felt like there were people out, the way it was presented, it made me think there are people out here who are watching this for different reasons than I am. It was just kind of a,
like Rex Ryan and his wife,
that kind of thing. Yeah. Fetishist. Yeah. It was a little fetishy. And I was like, yeah, I love puppies, but there's no dialogue. There's a lot of weird close-ups.
And, they do things that aren't necessarily socially acceptable among humans, particularly when it comes to the grooming. Yeah. Shall I elaborate on that?
No, I know exactly what you mean. And it's just funny that we turn this thing from something great to something very dirty very quickly.
Well, and it's just, there's too much puppy content on the Puppy Bowl. You need to have it just for the halftime show, and it needs to be less than 10 minutes. But this year, you know, the halftime show is going to be the Black Eyed Peas, so who knows who will turn into the Puppy Bowl this year.
I saw them on the Grey Cup halftime show a few years ago. The one Grey Cup I've ever watched. The Grey Cup is the
I know. The CFL. Canadian Football League, right?
Yeah, CFL championship.
Well, we've got a lot of musical news that's coming up here in the next couple of weeks, and I know we've already touched on Miley. Unfortunately, Miley's not going to be in the running for the Grammys this year. But it really took us by surprise when we noticed that the Grammys were coming up, not this weekend, or meaning next weekend, but the weekend thereafter. And one thing that we're probably going to do over the course of the next couple of weeks is take a look at a few of the categories and break them down from our relative perspectives, which is pretty different, I guess, from the average Grammy viewer. I think the average Grammy viewer is probably looking at it from a top 40 contemporary music aficionado perspective. We're probably coming at it a little bit differently. I mean, what's your musical background? You've got an interest in
my musical background is I have experience playing the recorder.
That's not true.
1 year.
That's not true.
That is true. Everybody around here plays the recorder for a year.
I've never played the recorder.
Well, you're not. We're not from the same place.
Well, they have recorders where I'm from. I just, we just don't play them. What is a recorder, by the way?
It's like a primitive flute. How can you not know that?
Well, the only thing I know about recorders is that they were featured in South Park.
Probably. I feel like that you're more of an outlier there than I am. I think that most people have that experience growing up who go to public school. They have a year where they play the recorder, and then there's some terrible, horrible concert that the parents are subjected to.
Well, there's certainly not going to be a recorder category in the Grammys.
No.
We know that.
But there are just about everything else is. What category would you like to talk about? Oh, my musical interests, if that's what your question is. I like classic rock. I like pop music, but not much less so than, I think, just like everybody, your interest with pop music, or with most people, interest in pop music sort of freezes around the time you get out of high school or college. And I think that while you may like certain songs that come down the road as you get older, pretty much your pop tastes or your favorite kind of pop music is going to be from when you were growing up. And I think that's the case for me. But I like a lot of different kinds of music. I don't particularly like country music, and I don't particularly like most rap. And I know not much about either, other than just very in general terms.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I was a big rock fan, or at least grunge fan. And then I completely departed from the world of grunge when I cut my hair. And now I am a 33-year-old white pseudo-gangster that is fairly adept at contemporary rap music. As I told you before, the last record that I purchased was the Kanye record, which is good. Not as good as Rolling Stone would have it. I think they gave it 5 stars, which is pretty unusual to give a rap record 5 stars. But I listened to enough that I can actually speak somewhat intelligently about the rap category. And I wonder, how many of the nominees of the rap category have you ever heard of? Well, wait a minute. I should specify. Okay. There's like 6 different rap categories.
Okay, well, let's take a look. This will be a fun game for you and I to play anyway. All right, so you want me to look up the rap nominees and then tell you how many I've heard of. I've heard of all of them. I can tell you, I'm looking at them right now. I've heard of all of them.
Well, who are the nominees?
Drake, who I've heard of only because you told me who he was. Eminem, Ludacris, T.I., and Kanye West. I've heard of all of them. They're all obviously huge stars. I mean, that's not...
Do you have any interest in listening to any of those artists?
Not particularly, but that's not specific to rap. I mean, if I were to look at the country music artists, I would say the same thing.
When you buy new music, what do you buy?
Here's an interesting thing. Best, oh, never mind. Sorry, I was going to say something very stupid there. rap, well, here's why. I'm looking at the rap categories. Rap is not broken down into male, female, and then I scrolled down to country and just read the top category, just like I was reading the top category in rap, and I was like, oh, they're all females. And then I looked at the heading, and it's best female country music, and it's like, oh, okay.
Well, wait a minute. They don't break down rap music
nope.
by gender, but
nope.
they do break down other genres by genre.
Yes.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
There aren't too many female rap stars these days.
Well, maybe that's part of it.
Other than Nicki Minaj.
Which I...
A.K.A. Nicki Mirage.
Yeah, which I will go to my grave saying that's... If I had been born with the name Mirage, I absolutely would not have... If your last name is Mirage, you're not in the category of people who need to adopt the stage name. Your name is Mirage. You've been blessed. You're
right,
lucky.
Right. You have a great name as is.
Exactly.
But I think she only enhanced her name by going Minaj for obvious reasons. I think it makes her more marketable.
Gosh, I just think Mirage is a cool last name. I would never have changed my last name if my last name was
Mirage. Tommy Mirage.
That's beside the point. I mean, whatever my first name is, but I just think that if you have a last name, like Austin, for example. No, I'm kidding. Like Mirage, I just think, I mean, how many people have the last name Mirage? That'd be like if your last name was Skywalker. I mean, that's how awesome that is.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Okay, we've skewed way nerdy here. What would you like to talk about as far as the Grammys go? Because they are coming up.
Well, tell me, who is nominated for the major categories, the best song, best album?
Love the Way You Lie by Eminem and Rihanna, which I have heard. F.U. by CeeLo Green, which I've only heard because he was in Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago.
Good grief.
What do you mean, good grief?
Well,
I know who CeeLo Green is.
No. The good grief isn't directed at you. The good grief is directed at the people at the Grammys who nominated this for Song of the Year, Record of the Year,
okay.
What have you.
Okay. Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, great which record. I feel like is an old song, isn't it? Isn't that?
Yeah, well, it feels particularly old in this day and age when music is so disposable. It comes and goes so quickly. But you remember it probably most from the World Series, which seems like eternities ago.
The World Series 2 years ago. Not 2 years, but 2009 World Series. Right. Okay. That makes sense. And finally, Need You Now by Lady Antebellum.
Now, that's one I've never heard of.
I've heard of Lady Antebellum, but I've never heard that song.
Well, see, that's interesting that you've got four urban/R&B songs, and then you have one country song. I think Lady Antebellum's country, right? Pop country?
I'd call them they're in theory a country group, but I think they are country like Shania Twain is country. Album of the year is as follows: The Suburbs by Arcade Fire, Recovery by Eminem, Need You Now by Lady Antebellum. Man, they must be a lot more popular than I imagined. The Fame Monster by Lady Gaga, which will get your vote, I'm sure. And Teenage Dream by Katy Perry, which will get my vote. So our votes were offset, and neither one of them will win.
Teenage Dream was a good song, and it got a lot of good reviews, actually, as a good pop record. The Fame Monster got good reviews, too, but I know you're not a big fan of the Gaga. Eminem is probably a safe bet to win.
That would be my guess is who's going to win.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Arcade Fire reference, though. Arcade Fire is a bit of a sort of a critic's darling type pick, but I swear I don't think I've heard a single song from that record. And it's probably because you don't hear rock music that much anymore on top 40 radio.
I just don't like the fact that Lady Gaga had an album called The Fame and then she has an EP called The Fame Monster.
Yeah, they were both very good though.
Of course they were. Of course they were. Do you sometimes listen to them as a way to get you sort of lathered up before you watch Glee?
No, I only listen to them because my wife and I haven't figured out iPod technology.
Oh my gosh.
So that we can separate the songs that each other want. So she will download songs and I will download songs and it's all part of the same iPod thing. And then we share the iPod, and we can't split it up and segregate the music that she likes versus what I like. So I find myself working out on the bench and listening to Lady Gaga as I'm pushing up the 480 pounds that I'm repping 10 times.
I mean, do you have any strong feelings about, like, some with the Academy Awards, when we talk about the Academy Awards, I will have strong feelings about sometimes this actor or this movie. Do you have any strong feelings about... Because this stuff, I just don't know it well enough to say one way or the other, like, oh, I think that...
Well, the interesting
Arcade Fire should win or whatever.
Yeah, and I, you know, I haven't listened to Arcade Fire, and I'm just not the type of person that would listen to that kind of music anymore. Although when I was 15, I probably would have. I think that the Eminem record is interesting for a lot of reasons. I don't think it's as good as a lot of people give it credit for. And I'm always suspect because I feel like people give Eminem credit when he doesn't necessarily deserve it. Just because so much of the content in the world of rap music right now is pretty substandard. I mean, there are a lot of great records.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of great records in the world of rap music. But by and large, most of it's pretty disposable. I mean, most of it is very superficial. It's designed to get ringtones sold. And you know, the lyrical content leaves a lot to be desired.
Wait, so you're saying that a lot of the content in the rap world is very superficial and designed to sell things quickly, but how can you say that in light of Lil Wayne's recent single?
Lil Wayne is a brilliant marketeer. And for those of y'all who don't know, I was talking to Tom about this a little bit earlier. Lil Wayne came out with a new single, which took him all of a day and a half to prepare, produce, and actually disseminate. You may be familiar with the song Black and Yellow by Wiz Khalifa, who Tom is very familiar with. While Lil Wayne was watching Media Day this week, he noticed that a bunch of Steelers players were making reference to Wiz Khalifa's Black and Yellow, now Steeler anthem, and decided to go to the studio and churn out very quickly a single that he dropped, as they say, the very next day. Which is amazing to me that in this day and age, you can actually watch TV and it'll occur to you that you need to come up with a new song based on what you just saw, and it will be released immediately and people will be buying this on iTunes for $1.29, which is the premium price.
Yeah.
So it's called Green and Yellow. It's his fight song for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sure that the Packers are going to be playing this in the stadium because he drops a few F-bombs, but I like it. It's a good track. It's a hot track by Lil Wayne.
I'm glad it passes the Mike Austin smell test.
Well, I'm a 33-year-old white guy. I think I am the standard bearer which all rap music is measured.
I feel like this is the second time you've established your age and ethnic background.
Did I establish that in this podcast or the one that we just did immediately before this that was so bad we had to throw away?
I feel like that was in this podcast, but it all runs together at this point. Okay, well, no strong feelings then on...
I do have strong feelings.
Okay.
I'm just not giving them to you because my itinerary for a business trip just came on my BlackBerry, so I'm studying it intently as I'm talking.
Oh, my gosh. Multitasking during the podcast.
The Eminem record's good by contemporary rap circles. It's not as good as the Drake record, which came out earlier this year, but I think a lot of people forgot about. And the Drake record has been nominated for Best Rap Album, so we can talk about that at some other time.
Okay, well, let's, just to wrap this up, gun to your head, figuratively, record of the year is what? What wins and what should win?
I think Eminem's going to win. And should it win?
No. Record of the year. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Love the Way You Lie. You're saying he's going to win. Okay.
So, that song is very popular, and it was fine. But I don't look at any of this music and say, boy, that is of a caliber that it should be rewarded with a Grammy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look at this music and it's really just sort of marketed advertising, much more so than real sort of laudable artistic expression.
I think Jay-Z will win.
Okay.
Because
Why do you think that?
Because I feel like Jay-Z, for whatever reason, and this of course is something that even in my very superficial understanding and engagement with the subject matter, I feel like there is a reverence that is attached to Jay-Z at this point, which is very remarkable because I feel like he is the first person from the rap genre who has this level of not just respect, because there have been a lot of respected rap artists, but reverence to the point where he's thought of as a Renaissance man, a businessman, a producer, a performer, everything, and that he does all of these things very well. And in addition to that, unlike somebody like Kanye West, who was also considered, you know, sort of a very successful and talented performer, he seems to have it be more together and a little less egocentric, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good business person, and he's married to Beyonce, which I'm sure doesn't hurt his Q rating.
Now, do you mean Beyonce Knowles, or... Okay. So,
was taken to task on Fresh Air, which I was surprised that Terry Gross would actually take Jay-Z to task.
About what?
Well, about a lot of stuff. But I think if you know Fresh Air, right? And Terry Gross, she usually has an axe to grind when it comes to gender-specific issues.
Oh, okay. Because I've only actually heard her interview with Sarah Silverman, and there were no issues taken with anything Sarah Silverman had to say. So, it's not like I listen to NPR. I mean, I'm not like you. I'm, you know.
Well, she actually really criticized him for the very typical rap criticisms, which are you call
objectify women
B-words, right. And you say a lot of disparaging things about women. And I was really surprised because in light of what you just said, yeah, I mean, most people give him a great degree of deference.
Exactly.
She really didn't. And, you know, she wasn't...
No punches were pulled.
Punches were not pulled. None.
Well, be that as it may... I think he's going to win because he's Jay-Z. And I think Album of the Year, I think Eminem wins. All right, so just to wrap this up, you think that Eminem will win for Best Record and Best Album will go to whom?
I'm thinking Eminem's probably going to claim both of those Grammys.
Interesting.
And, you know, they were both fine. I mean, I think that as far as rap records go, they're okay. He gets more credit than he probably deserves, but he is a good lyricist and it's probably... going to be rewarded in the Academy, particularly since the subject matter deviates from typical rap subject matter. It's about his recovery from, you know, drug addiction and dealing with the death of his friend and all sorts of other things that are somewhat serious. So he'll probably be rewarded as artist of that ilk are.
Okay.
So, all right. Probably an Eminem sweep.
I'll say I still think Jay-Z wins Record of the Year. I agree. Eminem Album of the Year. Well, Mike, anything else you want to cover before we go get ready to watch this football game, this contest?
No, I'm watching my watch and looking to see when Papa John's is going to be showing up here. So I think we had a decent podcast. Decent by our standards means...
Better than one we did earlier. We did. Mike came over today very early in anticipation of doing a podcast, and we did one, and it was so bad. First of all, it was about an hour and 15 minutes long, and it was so bad that we decided... to scrap the whole thing, start over, talk about different stuff, and that was a wise decision.
Well, what did we learn? I mean, we learned that we actually need to do some preparation, that you can't just come in and make magic on the old podcast.
I think it can work either way. I think that you can do it spontaneously, but not if there is... Let me put it this way. I think that you have to know going in... this is kind of a backwards way to describe it. You have to know going in what you're not going to talk about, or what topics you don't want to talk about, because what happened to us on the first one was we started going down roads that either got too serious or they were dead ends, and then we just had like, okay, what are we going to talk about now? Like a minute of silence.
Well, my problem is very, very obvious at this point. I have a deer in headlights look when I look at across the studio.
I have that effect on people.
I know. As I gaze into your eyes. And... you know, it's a lot easier when you've got pen and paper and you're able to structure what the show is going
to be. Well, that's fine. I have no problem with that. If you want to have pen and paper, always have pen and paper. I don't care.
Done.
We can talk about whatever you want to talk about at any given time. I have no...
Can we talk about my cats?
Again, that goes back to our original discussion about...
No. My cats are very interesting.
Subjective interest and objective interest.
Annabelle has her own Facebook page.
Is that true?
Yeah. Are you a fan?
I didn't know she did, and we do not have time to get into all that. So anyway, just to sort of put a finishing touch on this, thanks again to everybody who helped make the site so successful this past week, and hopefully we'll have some more good stuff for you next week. Mike, any final thoughts?
Looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to another funny song deconstruction a little bit later this week. And in the meantime, we're going to start putting some notes together for next week's podcast.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead, start assembling your notes. And on that note, I would like to just say thanks again to everybody, and we will see you again soon. Bye-bye.